Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we begin lesson number 8 in our study on the doctrine of God. The last time we were together now, we started to look at the names of God under Roman numeral 5. And the next name that we want to look at is Jehovah Shema, Shammah. And we find this in Ezekiel chapter 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. In Ezekiel chapter 48, in verse number 35. Ezekiel 48, verse number 35. And it was around about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And of course, it's talking about Jerusalem, amen, during the millennium. And the Lord is there. So the name Jehovah, Shema, means one is close by or the one present. Amen. God is right, amen, here with us right now. He is ever present, amen. And we saw that in our study about attributes, that one of the attributes of God was that he was omnipresent or always present, amen. The next name of God we want to look at is Jehovah Elyon. And Elyon is spelled E-L-Y-O-N. And we find this translated in Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Again, Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. The name Jehovah Elyon means the one who is blessing, the Lord, our blesser. And when I think of that, I think of a verse in Psalm 68, in verse 19, Psalm 68, verse 9, that connects with the Lord our blesser. Amen. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I know oftentimes when one looks for a job, the person will ask the prospective employer, you know, what are some of the fringe benefits besides the salary? Amen. It may be number of days of vacation or sick leave or medical coverage or whatever it may be. But I praise the Lord that I serve the greatest, amen, employer, the Lord God Almighty, because it says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. Even the God of our salvation. Not only does he bless us and load us with benefits, if that wasn't enough, but he's also the God of our salvation. Amen. God blesses us each and every day in ways that we're not even aware of. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's probably many a time that we could have got into some physical difficulty, amen, or trouble. But it's because of the Lord interceding for us, protecting us, watching over us, amen. He daily loadeth us with benefits. What a great God we serve, amen. What a wonderful God. We don't deserve his blessings, amen. But we receive his blessings and his benefits, the Word of God tells us, on a daily basis. Praise his holy name, amen. So we see then that Jehovah Elyon means one who is blessing, the Lord our blesser. And then the last name of God we want to look at is Jehovah Ra. And Ra is spelled capital R-A-A-H. And we see this translated in Psalm 23 in verse number 1, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we see then that here in Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And of course, Lord, all the letters in the word Lord here are capitalized in capital letters. And it means Jehovah, our shepherd. Amen. And we see here that because the Lord is my shepherd, we belong to him. He's my shepherd. Amen. The word my, shepherd, means we belong. My means belong to someone or something. We belong to God. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I praise God that I can truly claim that the Lord is my shepherd, that I belong to him, that he watches over me. And of course, the good shepherd we know in the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And a pastor is an under-shepherd, and he is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord, it says, is my shepherd. Jehovah, Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, amen. And because of that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, that he'll supply all our needs. And we just read earlier that he loadeth us daily with benefits. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, that closes out the names of God in the material under Roman numeral 5. Now we're going to pick up the material listed on the Roman numeral 6 on your course outline entitled The Fatherhood of God. The Fatherhood of God. The Fatherhood of God. Now, we come to the fatherhood of God, and the Old Testament Jews were taught to pray. Amen. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. And, of course, again, Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And he's instructing the disciples on how to pray. And this is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, which it's not. It's the disciples' model prayer. Again, and he gives this to the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, amen. And we must remember that they're Jews. He's not speaking to Gentiles here. He's not speaking to Christians here, amen. He's speaking to 12 Jewish disciples, amen, who are, their ministry is primarily going to be to, amen, to the nation of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of the nation of Israel, amen. And so his audience here, amen, and I want to clarify that, it's not until Matthew 10 that he actually calls out the 12 apostles, amen, so I want to correct myself there. But the thing I want you to see here in the Sermon on the Mount, that this is describing the constitution of the millennium, amen. The primary audience of Jesus here is Jews, amen. And we have to be careful how we rightly divide this Sermon on the Mount. There are certainly some things that we can apply to ourselves today as Christians. But what I want you to see here as we talk about the fatherhood of God is this Lord's Prayer was given to the Jews. We're taught to the Jews to pray. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 is in distinction from the Gentile gods, amen. In Matthew 6, when Jesus taught the Old Testament Jew under the law to pray, and we must remember that's the dispensation that this Sermon on the Mount is under and these instructions that Jesus is giving right now. He's still under the Old Testament law. And Jesus taught the Old Testament Jew under the law to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And the thing we want to bring out is this is not an individual prayer, amen, for individuals. He taught it as a corporate prayer of a nation who had been called out by God as God's son, amen, not individually, but corporately. And what you want to notice is that no individual in the Old Testament is ever called the Son of God or a Son of God unless they are created angels without blood, amen. And of course, we see the reference, amen, to the sons of God, amen, in Genesis. In Genesis chapter, let me just show you that to you. Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we see the sons of God mentioned here in Genesis chapter 6 in verse 1 will begin. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And now in verse 5, and I believe it's referring to what we've just read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And of course, and what it's talking about here in Rome in Genesis chapter 6 is that the sons of God, who are fallen angels, amen, came down in the appearance of men, cohabitated with human women, had offsprings by them. And we see the wickedness that came out of this union of these fallen angels and these human female daughters of men, amen. And that's the way, the reason the Lord God was grieved in the heart and destroyed the earth with a flood, amen. But before we go on, I want you to see also we have mention these sons of God in the book of Job, and they're connected with Satan. Let's turn to the book of Job. The book of Job with me. The book of Job. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So we see them in connection, amen, connection with Satan himself, amen. Then we see again in Job chapter 2, in verse number 1, we read, Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Amen. So we see them mentioned here in this, where Satan is coming before God to get the permission of God, amen, that he can touch Job, just take all his earthly possessions away from him, including his children and then his health. But we see here also that the sons of God are connected with Satan. And then again in Job chapter 38, we see them again. When the morning stars sang together, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And of course, what it's talking about here is God's talking about the creation, amen, the creation of the earth. And of course, we know that chronologically, Job is the oldest book of the Bible, amen. So we see that the sons of God, then, that we read in Scripture, are the reference to some fallen angels, amen, and not to anyone or anything that's born again, amen. There is no such thing, as we continue now our discussion of the fatherhood of God, there is no such thing in the Old Testament as a son of God in the New Testament sense. In the New Testament sense, a son of God is a sinner who has received Jesus Christ. We're reminded what the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel. the Gospel of John in chapter 1, in verse number 12, we read, "But as many as received him," him is Jesus Christ in the context, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And of course, we must remember that the Gospel of John was written much later, amen, than the other Gospels, amen, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what John had before him, he knew he had some of Paul's writings, amen. And he is no longer, when he writes this, in the dispensation of law, but he's in the dispensation of grace. So we see here now, he's saying, "But as many as received him," Jesus Christ, "to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now notice carefully in the Old Testament that no individual is ever called a son of God. The nation corporately of Israel is called sons and daughters in the book of Isaiah. And the nation corporately as a unit is called my firstborn son. And you'll find that in Exodus chapters 2 and 3 and 4. But at no time are individual Israelites such as David and Moses ever referred to as sons of God. The sons of God in the Old Testament, as I just pointed out, and we saw in Genesis chapter 6 and in Job's chapter 1 and 2 and 38, are plainly angelic beings who have neither flesh nor blood, nor can be born again. Therefore, one should get the distinction immediately between the disciples of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, who pray to God as a corporate father. In other words, the prayer is "Our Father," amen, in Matthew 6. And the individual Christian of whom it is said, look at what it says about the individual Christian who's received Christ in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Christian never prays "Our Father" in individual prayer, but prays "My Father," or "Holy Father" and "Father." Israelites did not have an individual, personal consciousness of sonship to God as "My Father." Israel, as it stood, had God as their corporate father, as a nation chosen of God to be God's first born son. Amen. So it's very important to make the distinction of that prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Amen. I know, because many have not been taught to rightly divide the Bible, the word of truth, that we take that prayer as the Lord's prayer for us, but it isn't really. It was given to Israel as a nation, to Jewish disciples, amen, to pray as a nation, not as individuals. Amen. So "Our Father" has never been the Lord's Prayer, never will be the Lord's Prayer, and is certainly not the prayer of any Christian. Our Father is the prayer Jesus Christ recommended to circumcise Jewish disciples under the law who kept the Sabbath, abstained from pork, and worshiped in the temple. You may have noticed, if you were a careful reader in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, that those Jews under the law were bringing their gifts to an altar in the temple. In fact, the word Christian does not occur anywhere in your Bible until Acts chapter 11. Let's turn there, Acts 11. I want you to see this. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read, "And when he had found him," let's read 25 first of Acts 11, "and then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch," the disciples. So it's interesting, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. As I think about that, then really a disciple of Jesus Christ, amen, is a Christian. And I often, as I look at this verse and as I meditate on it, I think about there are an awful lot of people that are saved, amen. But are they really Christians? Are they really disciples of Jesus Christ? Are they really following his example, amen, that he left for us to follow? For example, to suffer patiently. How many of us Christians out there can really say that when trouble comes and suffering comes, that we really suffer patiently, amen? Including myself, I think most of us complain and say, "God, why is this? Why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Amen. So if you think about it, as you look at Matthew again, you cannot find a Christian in Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, amen, for that matter. So we have to be careful when we study the Word of God. We need to rightly divide the Word of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, has never been the Lord's Prayer. If it was the Lord's Prayer, the Lord would not have been praying Our Father. If Jesus had prayed Our Father, he would have classified himself with sinners. And the Lord's Prayer, by the way, is in John chapter 17, where Jesus never calls God the Father, Our Father, but My Father and Holy Father, never Our Father, amen. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is where we find the Lord's Prayer, where he's praying to the Father. We see, for example, in John chapter 17, verse 1. He says, "Father, the hour has come." Verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou with thine own self." He says in verse 11 of John 17, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. So all through the Lord's Prayer in John 17, he never prays our Father, amen. He never prays our Father. That was for the given to the recommended to the circumcised Jewish disciples under the law, amen. Again, our Father in Matthew 6:9 is the prayer of a Jewish disciple under the law who is a member of a nation corporately that has God for its Father. The prayer then as it stands is a prayer given to Old Testament saints under the law. Jewish saints under the law, amen. And these Jews again are Sabbath observing, pork abstaining, temple worshiping Jews. As you look at Matthew chapter 6, just for a moment, Matthew chapter 6, and he says, Our Father, the prayer is to the disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and earth as it is in heaven. And of course, as he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, amen, that's what it's going to be like. The Lord's will be done during the millennial reign of Christ as it is in heaven, but it isn't now, right now, amen. So this is really a prayer for the kingdom to come, the millennial kingdom, where God, where the Lord Jesus Christ will physically reign on this earth at Jerusalem on the throne of David for 1,000 years, amen, with a rod of iron. So this prayer has a millennial flavor to it, amen. Because at the time, remember, if the Jews at a nation, as a whole, corporately, would accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then the kingdom of heaven on this earth was very close. But of course, we know that they rejected Jesus Christ as a nation. Oh yes, there were individual Jews who believed on him as the Messiah, but the Jewish leaders of the day, who represented the nation of Israel at the time, rejected Jesus Christ. Amen. And as a result, the kingdom of heaven was put off from coming to this earth. Amen. And God is temporarily, amen, stopped dealing with the Jews. And as a result, we're in the church age or the age of grace where God is calling out a people, the church, amen, made up of individual believers, saints of God, who have believed on Christ from their heart for their salvation, amen, for the forgiveness of their sins, amen. But there'll be a time when that'll be done. The church will be taken out at the rapture, and then the Lord will again start dealing with the Jew. Amen. We'll see him dealing with the Jew in this earth during the tribulation period, where we'll have the rise of the Antichrist. Amen. Where the Jews will go through great tribulation, persecution. And then we'll see at the end of the tribulation, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ return with his church and put down the insurrection on this earth. Amen. A remnant of Jews will be saved. Amen. Nation of Israel will be set up as the head of the nations. Amen. And the kingdom of heaven, again, with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, will be set up. Amen. The Jew had God for his father in a poetic and national sense. First of all, in the poetic sense, let's look in Psalm chapter 68 for a moment. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 with me in verse number 5. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. So we see here, it's talking about God as a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. But this is in a doctrinal sense only as a nation under God, not individuals now. It's talking as a nation. He was a father of the fatherless, amen, talking about Israel, a judge of the widows. In Exodus chapter 4 with me, Exodus chapter 4, in verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Amen. So we see no individual, no individual in the Old Testament knew about the fatherhood of God from an individual consciousness or an individual relationship, but rather a national relationship. That's why we find the plural, our Father which art in heaven. Notice in Matthew 6, if you study it carefully, that the Father of Israel, Israel being God's child, is set in contrast to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the careful reader of Matthew 5 and 6 will see that throughout these chapters, there is one thing that is clear. God is not the father of any Gentile. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, if we turn there, Matthew chapter 6 with me, in verse 32. Matthew 6 and verse 32. Jesus said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Notice that Christ constantly contrasts the Jew as a child of God corporately and nationally under the Father of a nation, with, he contrasts them with, the Gentiles who had no father as a group of nations. Amen. Because the Gentile nations worshipped other gods, amen, small G-O-D-S, amen. Israel did not have a personal consciousness of sonship, such as God is my Father. And of course, the born-again child of God has that in Jesus Christ. So, you know, we praise God for that. Amen. That we have that. Amen. That as a born-again child of God, that we can have that individual sonship. Amen. As a father, God gives life to his children. So there's no real sonship without the new birth. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. As a father, God bestows love on his children, those who are in the family of God. Hence we read in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But if one is outside the family, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we see those that are not part of the family of God, amen. And of course now we're talking about part of the church. We're talking about now that we're under the age of grace and the church age, one can call out to God as their individual father, amen, where Israel never could, individual Jews couldn't. Corporately, God was a father of the Jewish nation, amen, corporately. But we see those that are outside the family, amen, the church, are called outsiders. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, they're called by the nature, the children of wrath. In Romans chapter 9, verse 22, they're called vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, they're said to be dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. So we see then how much more the individual believer has today under the age of grace and the church age. Individually, a person that has received Jesus Christ, it's born again. Amen. Can cry out to God as his or her father individually. What a blessing it is. So we see as we've looked at Matthew chapter 6, and in particular the prayer that Jesus recommended to the Jewish disciples to pray, that we have to be very, very careful in making distinctions, making right divisions in the Word of God. That's why I'm including this material, lessons on the fatherhood of God, because I think so many people can get caught up and when they do not rightly divide the Word of truth. That's why it's important to make the right divisions. Amen. A lot of times you'll see great men of God too. Amen. Great men of God have done it is to try to, sometimes we say, put a round peg in a square hole, amen, and try to say that the Bible is, everybody is, it's all the same through, all the way through, amen. God deals with, in other words, God deals with man all the way through the same way in the different time periods. But we see that that isn't so. And as we see right here in the, as we're looking at the fatherhood of God, that there's a difference in God's relationship to the nation of Israel amen, and to under the Old Testament law, and his relationship with individuals in the current church age or the age of grace who have believed on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to conclude our lesson number 8. And we've concluded and looked at all the material under Roman numeral 6, the fatherhood of God. And when we continue, we'll begin to look at Roman numeral 7, the material under that, the silence of God, as we begin at that time, lesson number 9.